Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi welcomes you to our new podcast series. If you'd like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.
Sichot for a couple of days now, and I'm sure you've all learned a little bit about Sichot and what we're doing and what we're saying. I assume that someone must have spoken to you, correct me if I'm wrong, about the very famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, W. Zayin Amud Bet, where which is the source for the Yud Gimel Midot, or the source for the custom of saying Yud Gimel Midot. I'll read the Gemara and you'll tell me if it rings a bell, and then I will talk about an aspect of the Gemara. Is something we can talk about all night long, but I imagine you don't want to. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmale Mikra Katuv I Efshar Leomro. Right? If it wasn't written in the Torah, couldn't say this. It would be blasphemous. Melamed, right, is referring to the story in Parashat Kitisa, where Moshe says to God, Hareini Na Et Kivodecha, let me see your glory. And then God answers, Ani Avir Et Tuvi Al Panecha, Chanoti Et Asher Achon V'Yichamti Et Asher Arachem, and I will pass my goodness, my greatness before you, and I will have mercy on whoever I have mercy. And then there's the story of God putting Moshe in the cleft of the rock and passing Ra'ita Et Achorai V'Et Panai Lo Yarou. That story is worthy of a whole shir all by itself. So what exactly it's doing, it's obviously part of the response to Chetta Egel. We're not going to go into that today. Rabbi Yochanan in this Gemara response is trying to understand what's going on in that story. What does it mean? Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, the 13 midot harachamim. So Rabbi Yochanan understands it as follows. Shenitatef hakadosh baruch hu. Have you guys heard this already? Yes? You can answer, it's fine, I won't be embarrassed. I have plenty to talk about. I don't want to be redundant. Melamed shenitatef hakadosh baruch hu kishaliach tzibur. Crazy stuff. It teaches that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. It's ambiguous, and the Mefarshim disagree. Who called out, right? God passed in front of him, and either God called out or Moshe called out, right? And then the Midot HaRachamim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara, God called out. How do we know? Because it teaches as if that God himself wrapped himself up in a talit, like a shalich tzibur, like a chazan, v'ra'lo le'Moshe seder tefila. And then he taught Moshe, he showed Moshe how to pray. In fact, what we have here essentially is, right, there's a mitzvah of praying, but here God's teaching Moshe how to pray. Amar lo kol zman sh'Yisrael choti'im, yasu lefanai kaseder hazeh. Whenever the Israel sins, they should perform before me in this, according to this practice, this order. In other words, this midot harachamim, v'ani mochel lehem, and I will forgive them. Hashem, Hashem, and he goes on to elaborate as to all the 13 midot, but then I'm just going to use the first one, and I will talk about that a little bit. Hashem, Hashem, ani hu kodem shechta adam. I am Hashem before a person sins, and I am Hashem after a person sins. Yechta Adam v'yaseh tshuva, and that person does tshuva. I remain Hashem. The whole thing feels very obscure. Nevertheless, there's something very powerful here. Right, there's something powerful here, that the source for the ability to ask for rachamim, the first ability to pray to Hashem for rachamim, is something that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu. The very concept of tshuva is something which is a puzzle. Right? How is it possible to change who you are? How is it possible to change the past? Right? I did something wrong. It has the repercussions, whatever the repercussions were. And those repercussions are in place. Right? In fact, that's the way it works in most situations. Right? If I, whatever I did yesterday, is done. It's not fixable. And part of the puzzle of tshuva is, how can I fix something that's been completed already? I can do something for the future, right? I can say, oh, I'm not going to do that again. But then everyone agrees you can do. But I can't fix the past. Right? I still, the consequences of what I did are still in place. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that God taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to overcome the consequences of the past. And he did it by wrapping himself up in a talit, right? Rav Amital used to talk about this. But why does the Rabbi Yochanan talk about God wrapping himself in a talit? Because when you're covered with a talit, you can't be seen. Right? And the idea is that he's teaching Moshe Rabbeinu that the chazan is not an ego, right? The person representing the tzibur is meant to entirely subsume, even God himself subsumes his own ego when he represents the tzibur. And therefore, you know, you have to pray for everyone. You can't just pray for yourself. That being said, God teaches Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'rav chesed. Right? You'd give a midot, which, by the way, just in terms of, you know, how we do it. If you're in the middle, if you don't keep up with the chazan, and you're in the middle of the piyut still, you skip. It's something that's a davar shebikdusha. You say it together with the tibur. The main focus of slichot is the yugim amidot. So if you're not keeping up, then just skip the piyut and go straight to the yugim amidot and say it with the tibur. That's the center of what we're trying to do here. But that being said, what exactly is it that we're trying to do? I want to pause and spend a couple of minutes trying to think about, what are the implications of invoking the midot harachamim? First of all, talking about midot Hashem, right, is always, you know, has a certain problematic, but I'm not going to talk about that. How can we talk about God having, you know, different aspects and things like that? Let's just take it for granted that is something which we allow ourselves, right? We don't have a full grasp of God. We have ways to know something about God, and one of the things we know about God is that He is Baal HaRachamim, that He has mercy, He has compassion, and that is what we're invoking here. But let's talk, in order to sort of think about this for a little bit, I want to present to you the first midah, right? The first midah is Shemot Hashem, right? Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Hashem. And the Gemara, like I read just now, explains that you have to say the name of God twice. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu, when he actually does this after Chetzer Paraklim, only mentions the name of God once. That's another shiur to give. I'm not going to talk about it today. Hashem, Hashem, ani hu lifnei achet, ani hu la'achar achet. Which is kind of a weird, she'yachta adam yaseh tshuva. But I am Hashem before a person sins, and I am Hashem after a person sins and does tshuva. What does that mean? What does it mean? Of course. Right? The fact that a person sins didn't change the fact that God is God. So there's a vast range of explanations of this. I'm just going to give you two. Two different ones. Two, in fact, you could say competing ones. One of them is to say the idea here, it's Rabbi Yochanan is, I think, the source of it. Yes, it's Rabbi Yochanan. Right. right? It's to talk about the it's the nature of the tshuva. In other words, when we say Hashem before the chet and Hashem after the chet, it's to teach us something about the miracle of tshuva. Think about this for a second in terms of your own life. Think about somebody does something terrible to you. I mean, somebody hurts you in some way or another, or something. You know, now you can forgive them, right? We have that capacity, and that way we do resemble God. But even after you forgive them, it's never gone. You can't really wipe the slate clean. You can't remove the history, right? That's what we talked about. You can't change the past. It's always there. It's always somehow your future relationship. It might somehow even strengthen your relationship, but it's always there. It's always present. You can't wipe it clear. You can't go back to the beginning. So Rabbi Yochanan writes,
שמקבל כאילו לא, לאחר שיחדה האדם וישוב בתשובה שמקבלו כאילו לא חטא.
When the Gemara says, I am Hashem before the chet, and I am Hashem after the chet, after a person does tshuva, it's this unique capacity of God that he can wipe the slate clean. He can change the past. When you do tshuva, at least certain kinds of tshuva, you can really reset the dial to zero. You can start again. You can start anew with a clean slate. And that is what Midat HaRachamim of Hashem does. That's one interpretation. A different interpretation, which is maybe in tension with this one, is the Rosh. The Rosh, when he writes, I'm not going to look it up because it'll take me too long, but he writes about this, and he understands the idea of the double name of Hashem as referring to the fact that that there's something about tshuva which is dishonest. There's something about this notion. Let's think about it. We all, like, Rosh Hashanah, it's almost Rosh Hashanah, necessary to make tshuva. We're all focused on tshuva. We're always, oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to stop being like I used to be. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. We have these wonderful, good intentions, right? And those of us who are honest also know in the back of our head that I have good intentions. I really have good intentions. But what are the chances that I'm really going to be different in 6 months? In a year? Oh, in a year it'll be tshuva season again, right? So maybe I'll have a little window there. And I can move, right? But the chance of me moving, you know, meters, the likelihood is that I'm going to move a couple centimeters. I'm going to move a little bit. There's progress, right? There's development. I think that's in all of our ability. But there's something about the notion that we just, you know, we're going to change my ways, right? We all know how hard it really is to change your ways. So there's always that sort of a sense of a kind of, you know, we're not really getting there. Or we're kind of being kind of dishonest. God forbid, we shouldn't stop trying. But there's something about it which is a little bit of a challenge. Maybe not a little bit, maybe a lot of a challenge. So when we think about what does it mean, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, the Rosh says something like this. I don't have the quote, but he says that we relate to you in tshuva, right? In not in accordance with what you are in the end, not with how successful the tshuva actually is. So when you do the tshuva, Hashem, you know, I have rachamim for you before the chet, and I have rachamim for you after the chet. The idea is that after the chet, right, when you're doing tshuva, my measurement of your tshuva isn't according to the ultimate result. My measurement of your tshuva is according to right now when you did tshuva. So right now you really regret it. Right now you really want to be better. You really want to improve. Are you actually going to improve? Maybe. But the idea of midat harachamim, according to the Rosh, is of this midat harachamim, is that you get the benefit of the doubt, so to speak. Even though there's no real doubt, right? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have doubt. But you get the benefit of the doubt. We're gonna, you know, you saying now that you promised to be better, okay. Now that's a capacity, if you like, for rachamim, which is unusual. All right, well, we're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Think about how that in your own lives, in your own rachamim, right? Can you really give someone that credit, even though you know ultimately the chances of them living up to the credit that they're asking for is slim? I want to raise a question, right? I don't have a solution. I want to raise a question, which I think we should sort of carry with us throughout these slichot. This whole business of midot harachamim, which is the absolute center of what we're doing in slichot, from now until in the Ilan Yom Kippur, right? That's what Ni'ilat is slichot. Hasn't it something which I think we are all in our generation certainly struggling with all the time? And I don't know how to change it, but I know that we need to think about it. The message of Yom HaDin and then Yom HaRachamim, Yom Kippur is Yom HaRachamim, is that what we do isn't just about ourselves. If you like, it's dialogical. What we do in our lives, right? And it's a mistake to think about this just in terms of some kind of accountancy of mitzvot and averot, right? Of some kind of I did this and I did that and I did that, but on the other hand, I did this and I did that, right? And then I got points for that and I lost points for that, and let's see what my final score is. That's a mistake, right? Presumably, right? Divine judgment is a little bit more sophisticated than a video game. The idea is, though, that you live your life facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You live your life in dialogue, even when you're not self-consciously in dialogue. So what you do, right, and of course the closest imagery that we have for this is, of course, as a parent, which none of you hopefully are parents, but I am. And what your children do is very much, it affects you. So when your children behave badly, and we all have this with close friends or family to an extent, then it hurts you. And when they behave well, then you feel good, even though you didn't do anything. That idea is our whole lives, in every aspect of them, whether we live up to our potential, whether we don't live up to our potential, we're doing it directed at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why we need rachamim. To ask for mercy is to presume that you are in a relationship in which there is a response to how you act. And how you act matters to someone. And therefore you need rachamim, because otherwise it doesn't work. Because if we are judged for what we do, then we're in disaster area. So the question is how to enter into that consciousness. How can we, without of course creeping ourselves out and becoming crazy people, right? If you live in this sort of creepy sense of somebody's watching me all the time, which obviously isn't a good thing. But to live with the notion that we need rachamim in order to maintain our own existence, then we can say, Hashem, Hashem, kel, rachum, v'chanun, erech hapayim, v'rav chesed, v'emet, noser chesed, l'alafim, noser avan, v'fesh, v'chata'a, v'nakeh. And then we don't finish the pasuk, because the pasuk continues with the balancing. Lo yinakeh, v'nakeh. right? To understand that that's what we need in order to continue to maintain our own existence. Even though sometimes we don't say it, sometimes we miss it, whatever. We didn't say it. We still get it. Can we raise that consciousness in ourselves in this period of slichot? That's what I'm suggesting. Have good slichot.
From all of us at Yeshiva Eretz Tzvi, thank you for listening to our new series. If you would like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.